Growing Up, our brand new resource for churches and parents, is out now! Woohoo! With Sunday school sessions, training videos, podcast episodes for parents, and one for the whole family. All there to help our children navigate the confusion, filter the messages they're surrounded by, and hear God's good story. All our Growing Up resources point to the Heavenly Father who loves our children even more than we do and has the answer to their biggest questions about who they are and how to live. Together, as families and churches, we can support each other to start good conversations about bodies, gender, and marriage, so our children can grow up hearing God's good story. Head over to the website faithinkids.org and find out all the details about Growing Up.
You're the one who says to your children, please stop scoring goals.
I did.
Because their goalkeeper is broken by this experience.
I just had to send myself off the sidelines to sit in the car.
Because you were genuinely doing the opposite of supporting. You were telling your son to stop scoring goals.
No, the other way.
I love that story.
This boy is broken.
Stop playing football and love the opposition goalkeeper. Hello, I'm Ed. This is the Faith in Parents podcast. We're aiming to give an encouragement to those parents who are doing the normal business of raising children to know Christ. Who am I with?
I'm Amy, and you're joining us on an exciting adventure. You can hear that we are travelling. Ed, where have we been?
We have been recording a video. We're calling families together for a Bible conference called Bible by the Beach. It would normally be in Eastbourne.
It would. And I normally wouldn't go from Liverpool for the weekend.
You wouldn't. But I've dragged you down for a day of recording with awesome cutlery. We have had the most amazing day. And I'm definitely going to put one of their tracks on the end. And I'm going to choose my favourite.
Okay. In Christ or We Are the Church?
Actually, Who Am I?
Oh.
I love it.
Oh, it's a top one.
So don't fast forward. And we just thought we would talk about the topic that we were teaching on that video. You can find it on our YouTube page by the time you listen to this. And that is a passage from Titus 3, which is an absolutely purple passage. Amy, would you read for us Titus 3, 4-5?
Okay, I totally will. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Boom! What a verse!
God saved us, not because of good things we had done, but instead, Amy?
By his kindness. He saved us because of his kindness. He saved us, not because of anything in us, but because of everything that is in him. His kindness.
We struggled over this passage. We were committed to teaching it. But we found it difficult because it's an epistle. It's a sentence that is abstract. Mm-hmm. So children under, say, 9 or 10 would struggle to understand.
Oh, look at that. It's a red kite. So pretty. Back in the room.
Children might struggle to understand this abstract concept of saved by God's kindness and love and not by good works we have done. So we talked in terms of Jesus's big family photo. Tell us about that, Amy.
So the idea was to try and get across that whole picture of what we're now part of because of everything that God has done. So we are now part of Jesus's family photo gives that sense of we now have a new identity, we now belong to him, we're now secure and safe, we are right in there. And that brings us the surprise that it's somehow sometimes difficult to get to because we know the right answer. We know that Jesus has saved us, but when we think, I'm sitting next to him in the family photo, we get that, wow, what, really?
And we have talked in the past, Amy, about, let's imagine there is a family photo. Jesus is like in the middle of it, where the head teacher always used to sit in school. In school photos, Jesus is right sat in the middle of the central chair.
Like the captain who holds the football.
That's
thing.
Exactly it. So the question is, where do you imagine you would be in the family photo? So there is a personality type that is perhaps that rule-keeping Pharisee type.
I'd be on his knee.
I'd be sat on his knee.
He'd be so made up to have me on his team.
Exactly. And there is another personality type, which is perhaps the tax collector. I'm thinking of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18. And the tax collector, Amy, you'd be thinking what?
I'm not even on the photo. I shouldn't be here. Or even if I'm allowed in, there's been a mistake or I'm in the corner behind a pillar.
It's the day you had off sick. And so They've cut your face out of another photo and they've stuck it in the top left-hand picture.
Yeah.
Whereas the reality is to be a Christian is to be firmly in that photo, cheek to cheek with Jesus, but crucially, it's not you who got there. This verse says it's not your righteous works. It is an act of kindness and love. Through the ages, this has been described as salvation by grace. You have a place in Jesus' family that is not earned, but given freely.
So, Ed, I'm imagining our chat today is not Theology 101 of salvation by faith. Through grace alone, through faith alone, Jesus alone. We're not going to go any...
I'd like to think that Faith in Kids is famous for the way we dig deep into the most troublesome issues facing Christians through the millennia.
But I'm kind of imagining what we want to do this today is ground it for parents.
Great. Tell us about that, Amy. What difference does this make to family life and parenting?
Well, I think for parenting, this is about how to help your children understand grace in everyday life. So how do we help our kids see that actually their sense of security and safety and belonging is ultimately found in Christ? And how do we help them navigate the highs and lows, I'm a successful achiever or I'm a total failure through grace eyes?
My brother, John, the last podcast, flick back to it. It's the Drew boys talking about upbringing. John was telling the story of when his daughter achieved something huge at school. And he asked her the question, do you think today you are loved more or less than you were yesterday after you've got this incredible test result back? And his daughter was baffled by this. She assumed she was loved more. She couldn't work out if she'd be loved less. And John said exactly the same. So this is the story of being in a loving family, is that you don't have to sleep outside if you get a low mark in a test. And equally, you don't get 7 helpings of lunch if you get a high mark.
Or to be a higher level of child.
Yes.
You've been promoted.
The favoured child. Instead, You are loved. You're part of a family. So where we get to is to be in a loving family becomes safe. It becomes even your identity. I know I am my mum's son. I know I am my father's daughter. I know that I live in that home. It's where I belong. It's where I'm safe. It's where I can always go back to when life hurts. That is the picture in the Bible of what it is to be a Christian.
And Ed, there can be all kinds of reasons why our kids struggle with that. And there can be all kinds of ways that is buffeted, and there can be all kinds of ways that life hits them and shakes them. And I think we want to give them that security in knowing that no matter what their perhaps home family picture is like, or no matter perhaps how things began or whatever is different, there is this one definite secure truth that in Jesus's family, if you're brought in by Jesus, nothing can kick you out.
So Amy, that's very helpful, because there are some of us who might be thinking, our children's identity is us, is their nuclear human family.
Yeah.
And the story of the Bible actually is, however safe, secure, loving, Christian your family is, Jesus's big family is more secure. Your identity is more solid, more grounded. You belong more. I belong more in Jesus's family than even in the beautiful family I grew up in, where I've only ever known love.
Yeah. And in a family that struggles, that's still true. Whatever good you can see in this is a springboard to help you see something of what is truly better of God's eternal, secure, wonderful, loving family that no matter what you do, you won't be kicked out of. No matter what you do.
So, Amy, let's talk some practical situations.
Okay.
We have tried in this video to help families to talk about, to think about the normal everyday situations where this can be crowbarred in. So it is true that there aren't many moments when we expect our children to walk up to us and tell us either, please explain the salvation by grace, or, Dad, can you just explain to me how it works that I'm part of Jesus' family despite being a sinner? But there are many opportunities in life where we find we can explain this.
Okay, so when your child stuffs up, when your child makes a mistake, does something that they know is wrong, perhaps makes a repeated mistake.
Can I say, for me, growing up, when I broke stuff that belonged to my dad.
Okay.
Dad's stuff was brilliant. Tools, special things with twiddly bits. I love fiddling them with them, I love playing with them, and I love doing it without him knowing.
Okay, but some of that is about being a child.
Yes.
And some of that is probably about doing it wrong.
What I mean is, in that moment where you break something of your parents, that feeling in your tummy of, oh no, I have totally messed this up, and I'm dreading the moment of going to my parents and explaining. Okay. It might be a terrible result at school. It might be you've been found out doing something. You've been found lying. You've been found bullying. That sense in your tummy of, I feel ashamed. I feel regret. And I'm going to cause such disappointment in my family.
For me, I'd say more of that repeated disappointment. I'm here again. I've made the same mistake again. I knew I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have responded in that way. I shouldn't have been unkind. I shouldn't have said that cutting comment.
So, and the lack of progress that our children can feel. Yeah. I know my parents keep telling me what good behaviour is like. I keep failing. Yeah. I can't be good enough.
Totally. Totally. So the grace, what's the grace answer? What is the grace answer?
The grace answer is, I don't love you less. Sin is real. I'm not going to deny that you shouldn't have done it. I'm not going to deny I'm sad you did it. But I want you to understand the difference between the sadness you feel, the sadness I feel because I love you, and your unchanged belonging, your unchanged identity, your unchanged safety. That is not at risk.
Okay. So the flip side of that, I think almost that's, we find that easier to do as parents, because that's almost our experience of the gospel. We know we've fallen short of God's standards, so therefore we're quicker to get there. Whereas I think the harder thing to do is, as parents, we want the best for our kids. We want to push them to achieve what they're good at. We want them to celebrate their skills. We want what's best for them. It's how we then handle the, I've done amazing, I've done great, I've achieved, you wanted me to do this, I've smashed it. Hero in the room!
Yeah, and every child is different. Every adult is different. But with that sense, if you want to stereotype it as a sort of Pharisee mentality, which is, I am constantly a high performer, I'm constantly well-behaved, I'm constantly doing the right thing, and I should constantly be rewarded for it.
Okay, hang on. Let me just check I've got this. Okay. This isn't about you can't strive for excellence as a Christian.
Oh, well done. No, it's not, Amy. It's not striving for godliness, because striving for godliness is out of a love and a thankfulness. I am loved. So in the same way, if you think your parents are great, you try to do the best you can. And you feel a bit sad when you stuff it up and they are disappointed.
Okay.
That is different to, essentially, if I don't constantly get high marks, if I don't constantly behave well, something is in danger. who I am is in danger.
Identity. It's identity. Where does my identity rest? In what I achieve?
Yes, exactly, Amy. I need to stop talking, Amy. I feel like the more I talk, the less clear it gets. So, Amy, a child who is in that category, where I think that child can be prone to... it actually leads, I think, to feeling quite often a failure, because the standard they set themselves feels like they never achieve it. How does salvation by grace help that child, Amy?
I think it's about saying that the reason you are in is on someone else. So the reason you are included in that family photo is because what Jesus has done on your behalf. So you're okay. On your best day, you're in. It's great to be enjoying it. It's great to be being you, but you're in. It's not dependent on what you've done. So go for it, but at the same time, know that it's not all that matters. You're in Jesus's family.
And that conversation might be a child who's always disappointed with their school results, is always disappointed when, you know, a B is never good enough. A child who is always disappointed with how they've done in the team because two goals is never enough. The child who's constantly wanting more attention at home because they think they deserve more of their parents' time.
And I think underlying that is often a fear. It's a fear of if I drop further, I won't be loved. I won't be in. I don't actually belong. It is. It's the same identity issue.
And we could call it insecurity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there'll be some children who, for various reasons, feel more insecure. And this conversation, just to be clear, we're saying it can be explained in your earthly family. You do know you're loved.
Yeah.
You do know that a math score doesn't change my love for you.
Yeah.
But there is also a Christian conversation we can have, because that conversation every parent has.
Yeah.
Every parent wants to wrap their arms around their child and say, or almost every parent, you are loved.
Yeah.
You are safe. There is a Christian one which is, and you do understand, don't you, Jesus's love for you hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So that probably, that conversation, it might be more normal for that conversation to happen, not with the math score, but with the behaviour.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very common, particularly for 10, 11, 12-year-olds, up to 14, 15 and beyond, the question, are you a Christian, is answered with, I am trying. I'm trying to be a Christian.
Whereas actually the answer is, I totally am, because I'm trusting in Jesus.
Yeah, it would be like saying, Amy, how are you doing at being in the Smith family? The answer was...
I just am.
Rather than I'm trying to be in the Smith family.
I just am. It's who I am.
It's who I am. I belong. It's all there is about me.
So that's what that whole trusting in Jesus is what gets me into the family photo. So if it's on what he has done, then I can't be thrown out. Because if it's what he's done that's got me in, then nothing that I did. If nothing I did got me in, then nothing I am going to do is going to get me out.
Right. It creates a certainty and a joy. You wake up each morning saying, I know who I am. I am sat in the family photo. I am Jesus's brother or sister. And you smile. You don't know what today holds. You do know where you'll be that evening. Still in the family.
And you know God is kind because you feel it. You feel the difference it makes.
Tell me about that, Amy.
Well, knowing that God is kind is like, it's like a logical tick box. Is God kind? Yes, I know the answer. Is God kind to me?
Is God smiling?
Yeah.
When he sees you, is he smiling?
And do I see that worked out in who I now am and what I'm now certain of?
Yeah.
And does that make a difference to how I feel?
And there is a quick doctrinal nuance we can make.
Oh, really?
Yeah, only a quick one, Amy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is, we're going to imagine a bad day. We're going to imagine a day where we've really screwed up.
I'm looking forward to the nuance.
Okay.
Is it about to happen?
Okay. And we are to blame. So it's not just, you know, I'm the victim of my circumstances. I have got things wrong. And to be clear, God, our Heavenly Father, is still smiling at us if we're Christians when we get something wrong.
Okay. Okay, I'm with you now on the nuance thing.
Okay. So this is essentially, today I am clear, I am a sinner.
Okay.
Today I have sinned more than I do on a normal day.
Okay.
Today I feel awful. I can still go to bed knowing God has smiled at me, on me.
Yes.
Why, Amy?
Because his smile on me is based on my identity, not my performance. So I am not saying God delights in my mess ups, but I am saying that God delights in me. Is that the nuance?
That's the nuance,
Amy. Oh, nice. I didn't know that was a nuance.
So I just want to say, I've already complicated it, because it's what we do every time we hug our children when they've got things wrong.
Okay.
That hug is not, I am so pleased you have hit the ball through the window.
So they're crying.
Well done.
They're crying. They're messed up.
Yeah.
You give them a hug. That's a doctrinal nuance.
It's a doctrinal nuance.
Now I know.
It's not you celebrating their sin. It's you saying, you are safe in this family. You have said sorry to me. I know you'll try not to do this again. That's what repentance means. You're loved.
We've learned something massive in our family lately. So I'm, as you may be able to tell, quite verbal. So let's talk it out. Let's talk it out. Everybody talk it out. You tell me what you think. You tell me what you think. And you know what? It doesn't work for everybody, Ed. Some of the people in my family, they need to hug it out. And we have these big, long chats, and I'm waiting for this sort of response. And actually, the minute we hug, there's tears and we're fixed. We didn't have to say anything.
Crumbs. Amy... I thought you'd finished, there was a dramatic pause.
There was a dramatic pause.
Is that waiting for me to understand the full impact of what you're saying?
Totally.
Sorry.
I was wondering if you wanted a hug, but
no,
you know, you're
I'm
on
okay.
the other side, you stay over there. No, but my point is, and now that makes the hug make more sense. It's a doctrinal nuance. Go on.
I'm never going to use that phrase again on a podcast, particularly with you, Amy.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk a little about styles of parenting and parenting personality with
wow,
this.
Wow, we're still going.
Look, what do you mean I'm still going?
Well, no, I just think we want more.
Okay.
Woo!
So there are some parents who are more prone to strive, to drive their children to achieve.
Pushy parents.
Pushy parents, okay.
Okay.
And then there are some parents who are pretty relaxed about it. And, you know, what their children do, their grades they get, is less significant.
Hippie parents?
Wow, okay. Nice for labels. Okay, so we're going to caricature these people.
Okay, but I think, you know, we can say that, safely say, that we probably all hit somewhere in the middle
okay.
or extremes
between
at either time.
Pushy parents and hippie parents.
Yeah, okay, but okay. Let's go there.
So the question is can both show grace? Because it's tempting to think a hippie parent is showing grace, meaning free love. You don't have to do anything. You could do nothing,
yep.
and I would love you freely.
Okay.
So is it true that a sort of hippie parenting approach shows more grace than a pushy parent?
No. No, because I think that is not about, that's not about experiencing God's grace in their life. That is about responding to just... I want to meet your every need with your every whim, with your... It's you, isn't it? It's you get what you want whenever you want. I put no demands on you. Whereas what we're saying here is this is God's grace at work in your life. This is calling you to be his child. Go on.
Every individual and every personality type is going to have some sin.
Yeah.
That they are prone to. A hippie parent's sin could be that they don't teach their child that life to some degree is about good habits.
Okay.
And about serving others, for instance. So one example would be, we're coming to the point at the end of lockdown in the UK where meeting for church is now a possibility. And it could be that some parents are more prone to say to their children, you don't need to come to church. You make that decision for yourself. You decide. Now, that could sound like grace. I'll love you. You could do whatever you like.
Yeah.
I think it's actually... I wonder whether those parents would say the same about school. You can go to school today if you want.
Yeah.
If you're not enjoying school, don't go. I don't hear, or you don't need to wear clothes today. If you're not enjoying the sense of an elasticated waistband, just don't wear clothes.
Okay, I want to bring it back to that Titus passage. Is it actually a kindness? Is it actually kind to them?
Okay.
Is it actually kind?
Right.
Or is it just...
So our loving Heavenly Father says to us, I want you to be in the habit of knowing you're loved. I want you to be in the habit of worshipping me.
Yeah.
I want you to know that being in my family means life is going to look radically different.
Yeah.
And that worship, that love, that belonging is going to happen even on bad days.
Yeah, even a boring church service.
Exactly.
There is going to be something that you see of being together, this mattering, this being part of life, there being others here, the Bible being read, people trying to push in the right direction.
Great. So perhaps for the hippie parent to say, I'm uncomfortable with this, but we're both saying you and I are a mix of hippie parent and pushy parent. So we're both owning these labels to some degree.
Slightly, yeah.
Okay. So we're saying if you are prone to the hippie parent end of the spectrum, there is something to be said for teaching your children to look for God's grace every day. Be busy searching for his love and his in his creation, in his word, and in the lives of others.
Totally. Right. Convinced. Next, pushy parent.
Oh, pushy parent. Okay, so a pushy parent, I guess there's a separate sin here, which is the danger of raising your child to believe until they have achieved, they are less valuable.
Okay.
So your child, you may never say it, but a pushy parent could give the impression that unless you get A's in everything, you're somehow worth less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different sin, which is that grace of belonging, of always being loved, sounds conditional.
And what does God's kindness
teach us?
Teach us there.
God's kindness teaches us that it's not about our performance, partly because we will never actually perform. I mean, that is the sin of the Pharisee. The Pharisee is constantly striving to obey thousands of rules. And Jesus said, even if you were to obey in your own mind all of them, your heart is still filthy because you're not loving me passionately. The sin of the Pharisee, the sin of the pushy parent, is to miss the fact that it's the heart God wants more than all else, rather than performance, rather than ticking boxes. The heart that loves him and the heart that wants to be godly, he delights in that.
Okay.
So the heart that goes, that says, I love you enough to go to church when it's boring, that he delights in that.
Okay.
But the heart that says, I'm going to go to church today because I must, and I don't actually enjoy it at all, and I get no pleasure from it, and I refuse to search for God in it, but I'm going to go anyway. I feel like, again, I'm just talking more words. I'm not sure I'm bringing greater clarity, Amy.
I'm just letting you talk because I'm waiting for the big punchline of like, oh, that's it. Okay. I'm not entirely sure we got there. I just want to bring us back to the Bible passage, which I think said it pretty beautifully, really.
As always in parenting, God's Father teaches our heart before we can teach our children's hearts. So the pushy parent, I suspect, somewhere in their heart needs to be reminded they belong. And they belong because of God's kindness and his love, not because of their performance.
Ed, I think the pushy parent actually needs their child to perform for them to be okay.
Ah, now that's another thing, which is, I am so disappointed with what I have managed to achieve.
That it's on you.
I am absolutely forcing my child to do better
than me. It's on you to make it better.
My example of this is one of my children playing sport.
Okay.
I never even achieved mediocrity in sport. I was never in the top team for anything.
Well, to be
ever.
Fair, those limbs would be fairly difficult to coordinate.
So I find myself strangely obsessed with my children being good at sport. It just doesn't matter, but somehow I want them to do what I couldn't. Okay, that's another one, Amy. Thank
you. Okay.
Yes.
I'd just like to point out, I'm absolutely terrible at supporting my children at sport. Christians and Sport would have me.
Okay, you've got a different problem. You genuinely don't care. You're the one who says to your children, please stop scoring goals.
I did.
Because their goalkeeper is broken by this experience.
I had to send myself off the sidelines to sit in the car.
Because you were genuinely doing the opposite of supporting. You were telling your son to stop scoring goals.
No, the other way.
I love that story.
This boy is broken. Be
Stop
nice.
Playing football and love the opposition goalkeeper.
I know.
Bless you. Amy, that's not bad.
It didn't look great.
It didn't look great. I see that. Okay.
People, not things. It's sport. Okay. You know.
So just to summarise, because I feel like I talked a lot. There is a difference in personality types. We are all, God has created us different. But showing grace and understanding grace, that is a spiritual, that's a miracle. And we all need that miracle.
And I think as parents, the more we look at and understand God's kind heart towards us, what he has done for us, how he has dealt with us, despite our arrogance or despite our broken heartedness, is actually how we want to handle our kids.
Amy, can you say something about the parent? I'm going to say the disinterested parent. I'm pretty confident they're not listening anymore. So the parent who thinks this topic we're discussing is of no consequence, or the child, the young person who thinks this topic is not interesting and not relevant.
Okay. Well, I'd say for them, the battle is connection. You're just not convinced that this is good. You're just not convinced that this is worth having. And therefore, you don't understand what is on offer. God's kindness is what is on offer. His kindness is a lot more than my kindness could ever be. It's not, I'm going to make you a cup of tea and give you a biscuit. It's, I'm going to include you in an eternal family. I'm going to give you the inheritance that Jesus has earned and is now being credited to your account. So your disinterestedness is just because you can't possibly have understood the wonder, the amazement, the brilliance, the riches of what is available, what is on offer. Everyone wants kindness, right?
Who doesn't want to belong?
Who doesn't want people to be kind to them?
Who doesn't want to feel safe and secure? To live... It is a form of abuse to constantly make people feel
not good enough,
like the outsider, like they're a failure. It is absolutely corrosive. The feeling of not belonging, not being selected for the sports team, being the outsider at school, being alone, being unloved in their own home. No one wants this. We don't want this for anyone.
And I think in our anxious world, in our who's in, who's out pressure world, more than ever do we need the truth of Titus 3:5. Can I read it to you again?
Oh, Amy, please.
But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us. Saved comes up a lot.
And who did the saving? Sorry, it's not just saved comes up a lot, it's he saved. He saved.
Yes.
He saved.
He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit.
And just quickly to say, we're on to a second doctrine, but this...
Here we go.
If you want...
Buckle up.
Often, if to understand the doctrine of regeneration, new birth, this is a passage you go. Because you've been saved, you're a new person.
New, it's identity.
It's identity. It's identity. Christianity is not a habit. It's not a behavior. It's not a culture. It's not. It's not an adjective.
It's an identity of belonging to our Father.
It's who
we are. Who is kind.
Amy. It's terrific news. It's safety, and that's the God we worship.
I think we're getting off at the next stop. We've been on a journey. We've been on a journey through Titus.
We have been on a journey.
And the world, and it's our next stop is coming up.
So if you want to understand how to teach this to children, you could go to the Faith in Kids YouTube page and find this video for Bible by the Beach, Jesus's Big Family Photo. I still have some blue slime up my nose, and if you watch that video, you'll find out why. Amy, would you pray for us, you and I, and you could also pray for some other people too.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your great kindness to us. Thank you that because of Jesus, we belong. Thank you for all of us who trust in Jesus, we are in based on what he has done, and we can never be thrown out. Help us to be totally convinced of this ourselves. Help us to model this to our children. Help us to love your grace and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And as I promised you, to finish this podcast, this is a fantastic song. It's from Awesome Cutlery. Theoretically, this is for children, but let this song feed your heart. Listen to this song. This is about identity. It's about who we are. We belong in Jesus's big family. For adults and children, let that truth nourish your hearts. It's not about trying. It's not about feeling. It's about who I am. Enjoy this song by Awesome Cutlery. Pick up their album. Details in the show notes. Here it is.
I am part of something beautiful, placed by you with care among them all. Every piece unique and different, your love shining through. You're the artist, we're the image, made to be like you. I want to know who I am, so I'll listen to you. You are God and you tell me what's true. I want to see who I'll be when you're working in me. You made us to show your glory. On your mind before I came to be. I don't even know myself as well as you know me. When I know who I am, so I'll listen to you. You are God and you tell me what's true. I want to see who I'll be when you're working in me. You made us to show your glory. We are made for even greater things, made to share the life that Jesus brings. Peace that never can be broken, living with our friend. We're accepted. I want to know who I am, so I'll listen to you. You are God and you tell me what's true. I want to see who I'll be when you're working in me. You made us to show your glory.